Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquis and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it off.
I wish you could just shut your big yapper!
Time for some qualifications. Green flag just waved out at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Can you be any more stoked? Do you have the goosebumps that you need for qualifying weekend? I'm going to tell you what, this is where you need to be at this weekend in Indianapolis, and we have a great show planned for you today. Of course we do. But, you know, every year we love covering the Indianapolis 500. We are down there, and we are in the thick of things. And if you've been following us on Twitter, certainly you've been able to hear our track reports from Indian May on our various different affiliates, Indiana Talks, XRB Radio, all the other ones all across this great land. And we are just excited about the show that we have today. You know, we have not had a lot of practice this week because, well, Mother Nature has had other plans for us. But looks like, fingers crossed, we're going to get qualifications in today. 33 cars. You cannot have the Indianapolis 500 without 33 cars. It would not be the Indianapolis 500 without 33 cars. So we are going to have 33 cars today. How do I know that? Well, because there's only 33 cars that have made the entry, and they just have to hit the speeds. But you know what? In all seriousness, we got a lot of changes going on out there at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway with qualifications this year. A little bit different, and we're still going to maybe have by name for celebration purposes, bump day. But for purposes of what's on the track, there's no more bump day, basically. And we're going to get into all the rule changes here with our next guest coming up here in a few minutes, Phil B. Wilson of the Indianapolis Star. He's going to break it all down for us. Help us understand it. Help us minions understand it. And also Matt Hicks from 1070, the fan, the local affiliate here for the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. We'll be broadcasting the Indianapolis 500 on 1070 The Fan. So Matt Hicks, Phil Wilson, don't worry, we're going to have you broke down. And on top of that, guys, we got some other stuff to talk about. Tomorrow, the Pacers start in the Eastern Conference Finals with the Heat. Yes, we're going back to talk about beating the Heat. Also, well, you may have heard by now, Robert Mathis is not going to play for four games with the Colts. And yes, that's going to sting, and that's going to leave a mark. So we're going to get into that, and certainly a lot more, a lot more IndyCar conversation. All of that today right here on The Balance. I'm going to tell you right now, my digits are 917-889-8516. 917-889-8516. Put it in your phone. And you know what? By the way, this is 2014. Nobody pays for long distance anymore. If you're paying for long distance, hey, let's talk. I've got some other things to sell you. So don't worry about the 917 number if you're here in the 317 area code. 917-889-8516 is the number to get on the call with us. So we're going to take a break. When we get back, we're going to talk some racing out at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway with Philip B. Wilson from the Indianapolis Star. We'll be right back right here on the Balance Radio Network.
Welcome to the
This is Mark Timmons of Timmons Water Systems, 728 East Main Street in Brownsburg, and we invite you to come out and check out our salt and bottled water drive-thru that we have, where we'll load the water right into your trunk or salt right into your trunk. You don't even have to get out of your car. But while you're there, if you want to check out and see how we can fix your bad water, like iron, sulfur, rotten egg smell, hardness, bad-tasting water, ask us how we can fix your water at a minimal cost. Give us a call at 852-3005 or check us out on the web at wefixbadwater.com.
Race fans, get ready for the 2014 Coors Light Carb Day Concert at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, starring the Red Rocker, Sammy Hagar, and the Wobbles. And Sublime with Rome. Friday, May 23rd, Sammy Hagar and the Wobbles. And Sublime with Rome. Get more info at ims.com/carb day.
Verizon to the heart of racing and is proud to announce the Verizon IndyCar Series.
Fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
All right, my minions, welcome back to the Balance. My name is Saul Mark with Gel Presidente. It is qualifying weekend, and I tell you what, I am super stoked to be talking about some race cars out at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and nobody knows it better than the one, the only, Mr. Philip B. Wilson from the Indianapolis Star. How are we doing, sir?
I'm good. I'm on my way into the track right now. I'm driving and talking to you guys and eating breakfast and thinking about qualifying. It's a good day.
Hey, man, it's a good day. What I want to know is, are they going to make us park on, I mean, I know you're Philip B. Wilson, so you have all kinds of other special privileges there at the track, but us normal media guys, are they going to make us park on the outside, on the other side of Georgetown today, or can we actually go into the media lot again? Or do you know?
I actually don't know, because you're right, I don't have to worry about it. I got a spot over there, a number on the fence, and I thought it was after this weekend that you guys could come back from the infield, but don't hold me to it. I don't know. I've had to hold my pants up and talk my way in there every day this last weekend.
It's been crazy. I think I need to corner Doug Bowles in the corner and get him in a chokehold and say, "What the heck, man? What the heck?" No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, let's get into it, buddy. We'll quickly talk about the race that's already happening. That's the Grand Prix of Indianapolis. You know, very, very excited. I was actually, you know, I was telling Rich Nye from WTHR up at the lunchroom there at the media center the other day. I was like, you know, I've never got to actually see a wreck up close and personal. I've seen it on the monitors. I've been at the track when a wreck has happened, but I've always either been on the other side of the track when it's happened or in the media center. I've never been right there. And I had a unique opportunity at the start of the Grand Prix of Indianapolis to get the once in a lifetime for me, because I don't need to see another wreck like that up close and personal. And we were down there just, and I was going to try to talk to Mayor Ballard right after he waved the green flag. And so, as you know, what happened, IndyCar cannot figure out how to start from a standing stop, and they have not figured that out. And maybe that's because they're not supposed to. So let's real quickly, if you could help us break down the Grand Prix of Indianapolis. Of course, everybody knows what happened there at the start. But overall, was it a success? And what was your thoughts of that just hideous start to the inaugural race?
You want it quick? I'll give it to you quick. Sebastian Saavedra's car didn't start, or it stalled, I guess. Two young kids who didn't have spotters or the speedway telling him on the radio that P1 had stalled, slammed into him. Mayor Ballard took shrapnel, but he's a former Marine, a tough guy, nice little pretty mark on his arm. And I teased him when he came and saw us a few days later, "Oh, you're going to get reelected now. You can work this into a reelection easy." There were two passes for the lead that I can remember. everything else changed hands from pit stops, which is boring, which is not what fans want. But more than 40,000 showed up to watch it, which is great to see a few thousand people there in early May. And Simon Pagenaud won, and Simon's a very, very entertaining and funny Frenchman who can drive pretty well. The third career win in a road course. So, yes, a lot of positives, but the start was awful. And I don't care for racing where, you know, the only change of the leads are usually when that comes in for gas and or for fuel and tires.
Well, and I honestly, I was very, very impressed. A lot of people think it was the exact same course that Formula One ran on. I mean, it was the road course, true, but it was totally remodeled. So in many cases, it wasn't even the same course that Formula One ran on. And, you know, I was so impressed at the fact that they turned around that road course and turned it back into an oval literally overnight. The very next day, we were having practice on the oval with the cars going the right way. To me, the race was a success, and I look forward to that race being here for a very long time. Well, let's get into today. It's qualification. And a lot of people, and maybe you're novice IndyCar fans that doesn't eat, breathe, and sleep race cars like you and I do, Phil, maybe don't understand a lot about the changes that they're going to see this weekend in qualification, especially if they say, hey, it's pole day, it's bump day. Well, really, there is no more bump day by definition of what's happening on the track. Of course, but for party purposes and fan purposes, maybe there still is a bump day. But so walk us through the new rules and what are your thoughts on them?
Well, I need to read the sheet when I get there because I'm not sure I know all of them. But the bottom line is somebody said to me when we were walking out last night that today is non-pole day. And by that we mean we're always used to Saturday being pole day, where, you know who's fastest qualifier and exciting, and they've had the nine-car shootout challenge-type thing where they all go out again during half the hour. Well, that's not going to be today. They're going to figure out the fastest nine today, and those guys will duke it, or presuming guys, no disrespect to the man, but I'll give you a shot. Those guys will duke it out tomorrow. And so... it's kind of unusual. It's different. I'm not sure how I feel about it. I don't criticize change like a lot of traditionalists do because I think they got to do whatever they can to generate interest. And I know when they've changed qualifying stuff in the past, it's rained and it's hampered their efforts and all that. The thing is, there's just not that many cars. There's 33 right now, and so you're not really having any intrigue for tomorrow, which would customarily be bump day. Now you've basically given us a day to think about nine drivers shooting for the pole, you know, tomorrow. So maybe add some excitement to it. And hopefully nobody wrecks, because that's the last thing I want to see on a Sunday is somebody going for the pole and wrecking and maybe costing themselves a chance to run the following Sunday.
Oh, absolutely. And certainly we have a yellow flag out there right now, I believe. But Marco Andretti got out there today and did a lap of 232.239.
Did he really?
He did.
Is he
did.
Really serious? I'm not there yet.
He
said yesterday, didn't you?
No, I didn't hear it.
No, he said go sleep in. He said he hates that morning session. I'm going to sleep in. I guess he didn't sleep in after all. His dad must have got his butt out of bed and said, go out there and put up a fast lap, you old smart.
That's right. I love it. You know, Kurt Busch also coming out there. And you know what? A lot of people think that Kurt Busch is going to be – you know, we don't really think of Kurt Busch as a rookie, but he is an IndyCar rookie, and he's out there right now, just did a lap of 2.922. I believe we're on a yellow flag right now. I haven't quite figured out why here yet, but maybe not. But anyway Kurt Busch, 230.922. Jack Hawksworth, another rookie that a lot of people are watching and keeping their eyes on. Let's talk a little bit about that rookie class. I've been very impressed over, although we haven't seen a lot of practice, I've seen that kid from Russia really turn a lot of laps. And between him and Jack Hawksworth, I think really as far as new young blood on the track, those are the two to watch.
Well, yeah, I mean, McHale and say it after me, people. Alyoshin. Everybody sees it and they say Alyoshin. It's Alyoshin. And I, There's a Y sound in there. He spelled it out on my notepad for me when I did a feature on this last week. He's been quick. Unfortunately, he was one of the guys that, you know, blasted into Saavedra. But, again, when I talk to people, you know, about what the Grand Prix, I understand there was not much communication there. And I don't think a spotter told him, hey, watch out. So you don't blame the drivers as much when things go awry, when they don't have their eyes and ears up above or anybody telling them. But he's been fast in practice. He was the fastest rookie until Kurt Busch started taking over here. And Kurt Busch has been exceptionally quick. I know Scott Dixon, you know, called him a fantastic driver yesterday. Dixon, you know, is a good guy, but he's not one to gush too much, you know, in terms of compliments. He'll say, yeah, he's good, he's okay, but he's usually not that impressed. But he's been very impressed with what Kurt Busch has done in a short time. Hawksworth was quick in qualifying for the Grand Prix. He banged up his car a little bit in turn three a day or two ago, I think it was. Very unlucky. At 6:01 p.m. the day they decided to extend the practice to 7, and at 1 minute after what he should have been running, he hits the wall in three, and like, I wish we would have just kept regular schedule. But so yeah, I mean, there's some guys out there that are intriguing. I worry about some of the other ones. Footnote or a little anecdote we had in our notebook today: Sage Karam, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right because I didn't ask him. He's a 19-year-old kid from Nazareth High School in Pennsylvania. Grew up rooting for the Andretti's. He is a Ganassi driver, but he's on loan to Brian Reinbold in Kingdom Racing. Well, Sage had to skip his high school prom last night. He decided to qualify for the Indy 500.
Well,
probably,
you know,
a little more
gotta,
important.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You got to give it
up. Yeah.
Give it up. We're talking with Phil Wilson of the Indianapolis Star. Phillip B. Wilson, certainly the guy to go to watch, to read when it comes to IndyCar, and, of course, obviously the Indianapolis Colts as well. And toward the end here, I do want to get your thoughts on Mathis. But quickly here, I want to go through some of this stuff with the 33 cars or the 33 entries that we have. Let's talk about some of the dark horses. I like Pippa Mann. And you know what? She's racing for a cause, and people are donating money. And she's doing good, and she has a good chemistry with Del Coyne Racing. And my question would be, you know, money talks, I understand that, and for her to be in the money, she's going to have to be in the top five. And this is a one-and-done shot deal for her right now. We haven't seen her on the track for a while. She's a huge favorite of fans out there at the track, and certainly a good match for her to run the pink car for the Race for the Cure. Excellent opportunity for her to raise some money for that. But if she happens to go out there and be the Pippa Mann that she can be, and she does well at the Indianapolis 500, does DCR have a ride for her for the rest of the season or next year?
That's a good question. I you probably need to ask somebody who covers racing all the time. I apologize. I'm out there for the month of May, and, you know, I don't know a lot of the backstory with, you know, deals and all that. I mean, you know, Pippa's a long shot to finish top 10 here. I mean, I'll be realistic. I mean, I know the cause is popular. I mean, that she's got that pink car and the Susan Komen cause and breast cancer awareness and everything. And I know I had a friend with me, and then I had my brother with me also this last week in Gasoline Alley. And they wanted to see Pippa Mann's car. And one guy took a picture of it for his wife. You know, so she works out here locally with people of the Northwest Side. I had somebody else tell me they work out in the gym with her, and they think the world of her. And so I know a lot of people are pulling for her, and she's the only woman in the field this year. We used to have a lot of them. And so I hope she does well, just so the people that are cheering for her can, you know, feel good about what she's done and raising awareness. And we all hate cancer more than anything in the world, I think, and so I hope she can raise some money to help that cause.
Oh, absolutely, and I think she's doing a great job, and certainly, you know, the for those that don't know, I'll get the website up on our social media. I don't know it right now, but it's like Pippa, racewithpippa.com or something. You can go on there, you can click donate, and for every lap that she turns at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway in practice, qualification, and the Indianapolis 500, you could donate a certain amount for every lap, and from a penny all the way up to however large amount of money that you want to donate, and 100% of that goes to the Race for the Cure, and an awesome opportunity. We're back to Green Flag out there, Phil, and, you know, I'm looking at Justin Wilson here, and I like him. Justin, he's a good guy, good racer. Too tall to be in a race car, in my opinion, but he makes it work. But Justin Wilson is a guy that I feel like has paid his dues at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and it just, for some reason, has not been able to make it happen there. But he's been doing great in practice. He's number seven right now on the speed chart, turning laps at about 229.324. So Justin Wilson, is this a good year for him?
I hope so. I hope so, because you got an accurate read on him. He's a British gentleman who couldn't be more polite. Sometimes you say that about guys like that hideous-looking girl that they tried to fix you up with the prom, where, oh, she's nice. she's got a nice personality. Oh, she's a nice guy, but he can't drive. No, he can drive,
right,
too. He's done well on road courses. He's done well in some ovals. I think he's stronger in road courses, but I like his talent. He's driving the Boy Scout car, for crying out loud. I mean, if that doesn't get people fired up,
right,
next to Pippa Mann's cause, I don't know how you could root against the Boy Scouts. You're rooting against killing breast cancer, and then you're rooting for the Boy Scouts, you know. But I hope so. I hope so, because I've seen him out here many years, and he always seems capable, talented. I know he's respected by other guys in the paddock. You know, some of the drivers will tell you, well, I don't really too much worry about this guy or that girl or whatever. But I know they respect Justin, so I hope so. I really do. You bring up a guy that, when I think about it, I got to talk to him today about some things, and I'm just thinking, you know, I hope he does well. Isn't somebody you think, hey, he's all right. He needs to have a good result here.
Well, I hope so. Well, let's talk about some of the usual suspects while we got a few more minutes with you. Elio Castroneves bringing back the yellow submarine, the number three car that Rick Mears made so popular out there. Of course, everybody likes Elio, but it's good to bring that car back. So do you think it's going to be good luck for him to be driving the number three car out there at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway? The yellow submarine, I should say.
Yeah, I learned a long time ago that every time you think that Penske's down, and it's been a few years here since they've celebrated there. You know, Elio looks darn good. He looks quick. You know, I think I picked him to win a few times. The one time I picked the 500 correctly was when he repeated, I think, his second win in his career, 500. The other three times I've ever picked a race correctly, ironically, Tony Stewart, both times he won the Brickyard, and then Saturday when Simon Pagenaud won the Grand Prix. It's only four times. I don't count F1 because he just picked Schumacher every year. But Elio is always quick, and he gets up for this place. He's put his name up there in the speed chart, as you've seen. You know, you can look at all those guys in their laps, and you see some toes, but you know some of those guys are just absolutely flat-out legit. You know, there's a sheet that goes around the paddock shows the speeds without toes. And so guys know where people stand, and I guarantee Elio's high on that list. He's a contender today. He loves he's a contender this weekend, excuse me. And he's, you know, you got to look at him, you got to look at his teammates. Juan Pablo doesn't care about anything but going fast and winning races. He hasn't changed a bit over the years. He's still fearless and determined, and, you know, maybe a little edgy on the personality. I talked to him twice, and he's, you know, I don't care about nothing but running, you know, running fast. Those two guys are right there.
As long as we can keep the dryers off the track for Juan Pablo, we'll be all right, right?
That'd be wonderful, yeah. I forgot about that, yeah. I just hope it didn't rain today. We've had enough rain this week.
Oh, my God.
I like some rain, but this has been ridiculous, wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely. It's been ridiculous. Well, yeah, let's talk about Hinchtown. It's certainly a very, very popular guy, and I like Hinch, and I've had a chance to know him and get to talk with him every year that he's came here and really get a chance to talk with him and get to know him since he's been in the Indy Lights with Pippa Man, ironically enough. But just a very, very popular driver. Everybody likes the mayor of Hinchtown. And just, I think a lot of people were just really, really legitimately concerned about his well-being. Good to see him back on the track, but have you had a chance to talk with him? How's he doing?
Yeah, you know, when my brother was with me, and my brother's a doctor, we ran into him. He was just coming to the media center for his first chat with us since he'd been cleared. And my brother observed the nose with the blood, the color nose, and he said, oh, that's very, very common for a head injury above the eyes, you know, the forehead or the upper head, your nose will fill up a bit. And so he could tell he took a good shot. He just did that. Again, that's my doctor brother just talking to him for 2 minutes and wishing him well. And so I, you know, I obviously said the same thing to him. I feel the same way. I've known him since his rookie year when everybody asked who he was. I got a nice Q&A with him. And, you know, I knew he had great personality then, but there's a depth to him that you, as a race fan, would love. He talked about waiting outside in the rain as a kid for, you know, Greg Moore's autograph, the late Greg Moore, a Canadian he admired and loved and was killed in a car wreck or in a race accident. And so you admire the guy who's inspired by others before him, who loves racing. And then when you talk to him, he's like, wow, he's really fun. He's really cool. That's James Hinchcliffe, Mayor of Hinchtown, definitely.
Oh, absolutely. And I tell you what, how special would it be for him to win the Indianapolis 500? And, you know, we're going to find out today, 33 cars. We just don't know who's going to be the fastest. And certainly we could talk about him being the usual suspects and a lot, and maybe some dark horses in that mix in the Fast 9. And there's going to be a lot of maybe confusion on fans and drivers, for that matter, of, you know, how did they get to that position or whatever. So we're really curious to see how this is going to play out, because certainly on the national stage, it's really going to be they have to do it right. If they don't do it wrong, if they do it wrong, everybody's going to notice it. And so let's hope that everything goes right this weekend, both for weather and the drivers. We only got you for a couple more minutes here as you get ready to go into the track there. I want to talk with you about something very serious, and I'm disappointed, and I think you know where I'm going with this question, and you probably already been tweeting. Robert Mathis, and I just got to ask you, you know Robert, you've talked to Robert, and I guess he's the last guy that I would have ever expected to be involved in something like this. Now, I understand what he said. He said he was having fertility issues. His wife is pregnant, so that maybe that did happen. But where my disappointment was is he did not do enough follow-through with his agents and enough people around him to make sure that this was wrong. And I really think outside of Andrew Luck going down, Mathis was probably the worst thing that could have happened to. So just what was he thinking?
Well, I mean, he wants to make his wife happy. He wants to have another child. I mean, they have twins, and his doctor – that evidently helped him have twins, or helped him have the twins, before, the doctor told him he was going to be fine and he wouldn't test positive. It wouldn't hurt his career. Robert admits he made a mistake. He didn't check with the league to make sure. He believed his doctor. Okay, well, you know, shame on you. Yeah, it's a, you know, he admits he made a mistake that way. Here's my problem. Jim Irsay's not been punished yet for what he did. Ray Rice dragged his girlfriend out an elevator. They have footage of that. You have other owners and other players in this league that are doing a hell of a lot worse than getting their wives pregnant. And you want to suspend him for 4 games? I think the NFL has got a real problem, and I could go on a long time today and get very upset because I do know Robert. I saw this guy who was an unknown from Alabama A&M, fifth-round pick out of nowhere, and he was nothing, and he made himself into a player. And then he was Dwight Freeney, you know, other half. And now he's going to stand on his own as the NFL reigning second champion. He made himself what he is. And for the league to do this without ruling on so many other things that I think are a hell of a lot more important, I think it's criminal. I think it's just an absolute joke. And, I mean, shame on them. I've had emails already from people that say, you know what, I don't really know how much of a fan I want to be anymore when a guy can't want to have his child or have a child when they're having fertility issues. I'll leave you with this, all right? And Robert probably wouldn't say this publicly, but push come to shove, all right? You want to have a family. You were just married, what, within the last year or two with this lady, and you want to have another child. I think having our child is worth more than any one game or even four games to suspend him for. And I'm not saying he's going to like that or say that, but in my mind, hey, I'm not going to blame him for wanting to do what's right by his family and then, you know, get bit by the league, you know, with all this other crap going on that's being ignored.
Right.
I just, bad taste in my mouth, brother. I'm sorry.
Robert. I could not agree with you more. I had a jaw-dropping experience when I heard that they rushed to a suspension on that. You know, there's the line in the sand, and perhaps maybe he crossed it and maybe didn't do his checks and balances enough. Well, I couldn't agree with you more, and certainly we're gonna have this conversation again, and and certainly everybody can read about your opinions and stuff about this particular situation on all of your articles in the Indianapolis Star regarding the Indianapolis Colts. Well, it's qualifying weekend. Phil, we appreciate you taking some time. I'll catch up with you at the track. But where can people find your work, your masterpieces, stalk you on social media, what have you?
Yeah, I'm heading in the North Tunnel right now. One of my favorite moments where you go down through the tunnel there. And this is kind of cool.
Oh, yeah.
I like
it. Goosebumps,
Wilson, I do every time. P. Wilson 24 on Twitter. P. Wilson 24 on Twitter. That's the best place to find me. I'm on Facebook, too, and Google+, but I think Twitter seems to be the best place. And we got 17,000 followers on there and growing strong every day, and I appreciate everybody that checks out the stuff. I've been doing almost all racing, but, you know, people ask you about Robert, so I stated my opinion. And I'm disappointed in that you didn't check into it, but, you know, you guys have heard how I feel about it.
Oh, I love your thoughts, man. I'll catch up with you at the track later, and you have yourself a good day. And thanks so much for coming on, sir.
Okay, thank you. Cheers. Yeah.
All right, buddy. Philip B. Wilson of the Indianapolis Star taking some time to join us today, talk with us about the qualification and that mess with Robert Matheson. You know, we got a lot to talk about that, and myself and probably Kevin Chapman, that country boy, that redneck from Philly, in the second hour. We're gonna talk about it. So we'll get some more thoughts about it. But certainly, as you can understand, with Phil B. Wilson, not a very popular decision by the NFL to suspend one of its best players for four games relatively early. I don't know. Was the suspension justified? Maybe. But we'll get into that. But it's race day. It's time to go racing. We'll be back with Matt Hicks from 1070 The Fan. More race talk on the way right here on the Balance Radio Network.
Now we've gone full throttle and I'm wanting more. It's on the band now.
Race fans, get ready for the 2014 Coors Light Carb Day Concert at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, starring the Red Rocker, Sammy Hagar, and the Wobbles. And Sublime with Rome. Friday, May 23rd, Sammy Hagar and the Wobbles. And Sublime with Rome. Get more info at ims.com/carb day.
Hello, this is Mark Timmons of Timmons Water Systems, 728 East Main Street in Brownsburg, and we invite you to come out and check out our salt and bottled water drive-thru that we have, where we'll load the water right into your trunk or salt right into your trunk. You don't even have to get out of your car. But while you're there, if you want to check out and see how we can fix your bad water, like iron, sulfur, rotten egg smell, hardness, bad-tasting water, ask us how we can fix your water at a minimal cost. Give us a call at 852-3005 or check us out on the web at wefixbadwater.com.
You know, after a long day here at the Balance Radio Studios, one of the things I like to do most is just to sit back, relax, and enjoy a nice cigar and a great cocktail. One of my favorite places to do that is Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mike and Tom have the setup for you there. I'm going to tell you what, they've got a walk-in humidor, cigars, pipes, tobacco, the way you like it. You like it mild, they got it for you. You like it strong and bold, they got something for you. They got a fully stocked bar with local drafts, a very relaxing lounge, a full service kitchen with a delicious menu, monthly cigar tasting events. You can play Golden Tee for free. Bring your laptop, relax with a nice cigar and the cocktail the way you like it. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mr. B's Cigar Box is the place you want to go to unwind. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Very easy to find. 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. That's 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. 317-272-6900. The guys out at Mr. B's Cigar Box are waiting for you. What are you waiting for?
Verizon to the heart of racing and is proud to announce the Verizon IndyCar Series.
Welcome back to The Balance. My name is Al-Mark with Sal Presidente. Saturday morning, the day after a not-so-fast Friday. But joining us now is the one, the only, Mr. Matt Hicks from 1070 The Fan, who's going to help us break all this down, some of the new rules, some of the new action that we've seen out here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Now, Matt, we were talking a little bit off mic about that. We'll talk about this first because it was the first race, the Grand Prix of Indianapolis. And, you know, obviously right off, one of the things that we seen right off was the fact that IndyCar could not get a restart together, and what a very scary wreck that was. And I was just sharing with you a little bit of how close I was to that. And I've never been – I was telling Rich Nye over at Channel 13 the other day at the track. I said, you know, I've never been that close to a wreck before. I've always been that guy that's been on the other side of the track or saw it on the monitors. That's a bad wreck. I've always wanted to see a bad wreck. I've had my feel for the lifetime there, Matt.
Yeah, when the parts start whizzing by your head, you think, okay, I belong back at the media center now. Yeah, I hear you there. And, yeah, I mean, it was just a weird thing. IndyCar has had some problems over the years of figuring out where to have a restart zone, and they want to have it very late, and that, of course, causes a lot of excitement, but it also causes a lot of damage to the owner's pocketbooks, and that's exactly what happened last Saturday. And I think Graham Rahal said it best. I believe it was Graham. The restart zone was just way too late. They needed to let the leaders go sooner. Yes, I understand. It would have stretched the field out a little bit. But the reality of it was borderline embarrassing that they could not get a restart off without having another wreck. And it really was simply not the fault of an over-aggressive driver or anything of the sort. It really was simply the fault of lack of vision down the field. So you couldn't tell when somebody was having a problem because the front stretch that they were on, yes, going the wrong way, but they were on the flat front stretch, so you just don't have that ability to see too far in front of you. So it was, say, a lucky happenstance that no one was seriously injured beyond who was hurt. I mean, James Hinchcliffe missed the week of practice, and I think everybody else made it through relatively unscathed. But a testament to the Dallara, the DW12 car, apparently doing what it was meant to do and keeping these guys safe.
Well, keeping them safe, but certainly I think they're going to have to reevaluate who does honorary starts on the track anymore. Mayor Ballard, I think, got his feel too, and he's a combat veteran, and he goes, even that freaked me out, and yeah. So, but good thing everybody came out okay, and good to see James Hinchcliffe back out on the track yesterday. It wasn't a very fast Friday at all. Let me ask you this real quick before we get into the Indianapolis 500 and the qualifying and all of that stuff. Did the fans get what they wanted out of the Grand Prix of Indianapolis?
Well, listen, I tell you what, I don't know if it was Doug Bowles or who came up with the race distance amount, but they did an outstanding job of picking the number of laps because it was drama-filled the last three laps. You really didn't know who was going to win the race, and I think I was kind of, you know, we don't do this in the media, but I'm kind of half media, half fan, really.
Sure,
I was
sure.
A
we all are.
Castaneves. Well, sure. And I was rooting for Elio Castaneves. I am really interested to see the historical event that will take place at some point. It's going to happen eventually, where a driver is able to win a race in more than one discipline at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. It's going to happen. And I thought Elio might be the first guy to win more than one event at the Speedway, and it didn't quite happen. But the fuel race was quite entertaining, and I think it did give fans what they wanted to see. There were three, four, or five legitimate passing zones.
Oh yeah,
and it was I think it was a very entertaining race, and apparently the Speedway is happy with the attendance, so we will likely see it again next year at the beginning of May.
Well, you know, you were talking about two winners at the, you know, two different races at the same track at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Simon Patajon has been putting up some good speeds, and Ryan Hunter-Reay has been there as well. And, you know, talking about fuel management, there was no more fuel for Simon Patajon to win that race. Had it been any longer, Ryan Hunter-Reay would have won that race. And, you know, Elio Castaneves was right there as well. So, you know, I was thrilled. I was excited to watch it. And, you know, it's very interesting to see two different – what I think maybe what amazed me more than anything is they have that entire road course completely transformed back to the oval, and the cars go in the other direction the very next day. So
that's amazing.
You know,
and I didn't know how that was going to work, but that was amazing that they were able to do that in less than 24 hours. That was really cool, and that has a lot of promise for some neat things. You can let your mind wander a little bit down the road, maybe of a NASCAR weekend or just anything, really, just being able to turn the track around that quickly. That has some exciting possibilities.
Right, and just amazing how far this track has come over the years. Well, certainly one thing is for sure, they're back on the oval now, and they're going the right direction now. And but they've just not been able to get very much practice in. Unfortunately, Mother Nature has won the races, per se, to get cars out there. Now, yesterday we had, well, I won't call it a fast Friday, but we had some fast speeds, and certainly IndyCar allowed the cars to put a little bit more power in it yesterday to see what they could get out of them, and we did. We saw 230. We saw Ed Carpenter hit 230, and everybody was excited when Elio Castaneves Juan Pablo Montoya, I'm sorry, comes out with 229, and then not long after that, we saw Elio Castaneves, Scott Dixon, we had a couple others there. I don't have my notes right here in front of me, but basically we saw speeds pretty fast, and especially for the fact that we didn't even have anything to like 2:30 Cordell 3, and it was shut down within an hour. And not too long after that, Indianapolis Motor Speedway said that all the events at the track yesterday had concluded. So that brings us to today and qualifying for the Indianapolis 500, and we got a whole different set of rules, and a long what used to be bump day is no longer the bump day, and we'll get into the parameters of the rules. But basically, the cars get out there. They say 33 fast cars. Well, there's 33 entries, so it's the Indianapolis 500. You're going to have 33 cars start, and then they're going to go from the top nine, and then they're also going to award points in a qualifying type scenario, which is new for IndyCar as well. So a lot to digest. Matt, but I'm going to put you on the hot seat. Help us understand all the new rules that are going on in qualification this weekend at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
Well, and I want to be fair here. I'm rarely critical of the Speedway and what they do, but I've got to say, they way overcomplicated this. I think the idea was to make sure there's action on the track in years where we don't have bumping. And I think they're going to succeed in that, though I can see long periods of non-qualifying time, which would turn into practice time, especially after the weather we had this week. But that being said, my soapbox I'll get down from. what we're going to see today is the top 30 locked into position. So every car, all 33 driver and car combinations, and there, I'll let a little secret out. There is the slightest, ever slightest chance of a 34th driver and car combination, but it's going to take a near miracle for it to come together. And last I heard on Friday is that it was nearly a dead deal. But we'll see if it can't be revived once we see later today. But the top 30 are locked into position after the end of the day. Also, the top 9 is locked into position for the fast 9 tomorrow afternoon when qualifying is completed. So what they will do tomorrow, the 33 qualified drivers will have an opportunity to go ahead and put themselves in order of positions 10 through 33. Now, there is still the possibility of bumping tomorrow. Positions 30 through 33 are not locked in. I should say 31, 32, and 33 are not locked in. Those three positions are still open tomorrow. So if someone has a faster speed than one of those three times, they can bump out of the field, bump the 31, 32, or 33rd starter out of the field and get themselves in and then themselves be bumped. Three qualifying attempts like we've been used to these last few years on what used to be known as bump day. And then at the end of the day tomorrow, we'll see the top 9 shootout, which has been very popular. It's going to be earlier in the day. I don't know what that's going to do for speeds. I'm very curious to see if that affects speeds positively or negatively. We're going to have a nice weekend here, but generally what's really helped is that top 9 shootout's been towards the end of the day, whether it be 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock in the evening when the track's cooled back down. We're going to be in the warm part of the day this time, so I'll be curious to see what that does. But in a nutshell, today we're seeing the top 30 locked in, and beyond that we'll go hopefully bumping tomorrow, but if nothing else, we'll get the starting lineup set for the Indianapolis 500.
Well, absolutely. And yesterday, in spite of the rain, and we could still say it was a fast Friday because anytime you get a car's going 230 miles an hour around the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, that's fast, and it was Friday. So we could say it was a successful fast Friday. You know, let's talk a little bit about the entry list. And, of course, we know we have 33 drivers. One of the drivers that are going to stand out that we're going to be able to see, the Pennzoil number 3 old Rick Mears car, the Yellow Submarine, is going to be out there for nostalgic purposes as well. So talk with me about Elio Castroneves. He's turned speeds at 227.166 this week, 229 yesterday. So he's definitely going to be right there, got a day good car.
Well, you know, I thought this year we would have had a real good chance to see a four-time winner, whether it be Dario or Elio Castroneves. Now, what we don't know quite yet is if the Honda cars, and when I say that, I mean the Dixon and those guys, they've been able to come up big race day these last few years. So that'll be really interesting to see if they get that extra fuel mileage and that's able to help them on race day. But as far as pure speed goes, very hard to bet against Team Penske. Will Power has seemed to found his way around this oval, too. He's my dark horse pick for the pole tomorrow evening, or I should say tomorrow afternoon. But Elio has got every chance in the world. As they always like to say, he knows his way around the track. He's got his line picked out. I would be shocked if he's not starting in the front row, and then he'll have every chance to go out and be the first four-time winner in, what, since 1992, is that right? Or 1991, so it's been a while.
I believe you are right on that, sir. I don't know. I'm going to have to Google that. Either
90 or 91, but it's been quite a while since we've seen that, and I think it's possible we could see it this year, and that would be, of course, that would be very exciting. And you've got to love the livery of the car. I mean, that's just outstanding. The Pennzoil car, there's several really cool liveries this year. But that one has got to be a fan favorite, so I'm sure there'll be a lot of cheering for that car as it makes its way around the track these next 2 days.
Well, and absolutely. And you know, another driver, talking about fan favorites, Pippa Mann in the pink car,
and
what she's doing for the for breast cancer and the Susan G. Komen organization as well, and race with Pippa, and a great opportunity. For every lap that she turns, you could donate a certain amount of money. So basically, you could pay for every lap that she turns, and all of that money goes to the race for the cure, obviously for breast cancer. But so outside of seeing a pink car out of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, driven by a very good driver, Pippa Mann, it's exciting to see her back on the track. It's been a couple years since she's been out there and been able to get in a car and get a team together, and it looks like this is going to be a one-shot, one deal for her. But never say never in IndyCar. So if she comes out there and she gets a top five finish, is there going to be a team owner saying, hey, Pippa, we got a ride for you?
Well, I think Dale Coyne is a possibility. I mean, I think, yeah, when you get into the money, which I believe is top five in Indianapolis now, when you start to separate yourself, and if she were able to somehow, through it be skill or luck or fuel, be in the top three, then yes, I think you would see her for some additional races, if nothing else, the ovals with Dale Coyne. I think another guy that would be interesting to see, and he's got every chance to win this race with the equipment that he's in, is Townsend Bell. You know, he's a guy that just does this by itself, but, you know, he's got an excellent chance to have a very nice finish, and you have to wonder if a top three wouldn't propel him in to some more ovals this year. It's a little different situation for Townsend Bell. I mean, he's done the whole series before, so this is really kind of, you don't want to say farewell because he's a young man still, but he's towards the end of his racing career, in an Indy car at least. So it's a little different than Pippa, who's still trying to establish herself. But you have to wonder if a Townsend Bell had a high finish, or even a J.R. Hildebrand, if he had a top three finish, would Ed Carpenter pay his freight for a little bit further in the season? I think that would be another one to keep your eye on, too. So there are several very intriguing one-offs that can be very competitive in this race.
We have five rookies in the field of 33. And one rookie stands out to me a lot, and I've been watching him all week in practice, and that is Mikael Ashlin. I probably am butchering name wrong.
Hop diggity dog.
And then we've got a couple others. Another one that stands out, Jack Hawksworth, who hit the wall during practice earlier this week. Martin Plowman and James Davison, and also Carlos Hutos. Man, I was doing good. I was on a roll there, buddy. I was on a roll. Jack Hawksworth, man, not a problem. But anyway, the rookie class,
2014. That's the way to go.
That's right. The rookie class 2014, any stands out there? I really do like this kid from Russia.
I do, too. Now, we're, of course, talking about the full-time IndyCar drivers, but I think he's got a future. Jack Hawksworth proven he can drive these cars. I mean, he's going to have a real long future in this. But I got to tell you, I think the favorite for Rookie of the Year is none other than Kurt Busch. I mean, he's going to have an excellent chance, and I left him out in the one-offs. He's going to have an excellent chance to have a great day next Sunday. And I think at the end, through qualifying and finish, I think he's probably going to be your Rookie of the Year, is my guess. And we've kind of forgotten about that story a little bit with the rain and everything else, but he's been very quick. He's been right with the rest of the Andretti drivers,
mm-hmm.
He's got good equipment. So you have to consider him maybe not necessarily as a dark horse even favorite to win the race, because it's so hard for a rookie to do it. And he certainly has the racing experience necessary, but the experience in that car on that track is a whole other story. But you have to look at him as the, I think, odds-on favorite at this point to win Rookie of the Year, barring out an early incident in next Sunday's race.
Which has been known to happen at the Indianapolis 500 with rookies. Now, you know, and Kurt Busch, and I didn't leave him out of the rookie equation. I guess what I meant to I could have included him as a rookie because he is a rookie at IndyCar, but he certainly is no rookie at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and he's going to be running the double, and that's not been done. Only a select few has even attempted to do that, and for very good reason, obviously. And he's literally going to get out of a car, get in a helicopter, and fly fly down to Charlotte, get in a car, and run another race. That is just stupidity, for one. But for two, that's just takes some amazing skill. And just the focus, the mental focus that you have to have to drive a race car at 200-some miles an hour around the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, that in itself is enough to wear anybody out. And then to get out and then run a completely different race, you got to know that your mind, it takes some time to adjust, and you got to wonder, wait, am I in Charlotte? Am I in IndyCar? Or, you know, those things.
I tell you what, I think this all became a lot easier for Kurt Busch when he won a race already. You're not locked into the chase in the Sprint Cup at this point, but boy, he's darn close by winning that race. And I think that makes things a little bit easier for him, is my guess. He has a backup driver in Charlotte. I wouldn't be at all stunned if he has a great finish in the race, if maybe he doesn't start the race in Charlotte. And when I say great finish, I mean one of the top three finishes. I think that would be the only way he'd probably stick around for any kind of post-race celebration. And if he won the race, well, that would be a story that we'd talk about for years and years to come. But the mental focus and physical athleticism that beat takes. I mean, you've heard the stories about John Andretti and Tony Stewart needing IVs and all that. I mean, it's a major undertaking, and I know that in my svelte shape, I couldn't pull it off.
There's no way I could either. I couldn't even get in a two-seater probably. Little.
Well, I tell you what, I did it about 2 years ago. It was a struggle.
Well, we're talking with Matt Hicks from 1070 The Fan here in Indianapolis, local affiliate for the Indianapolis Motor Speedway MRN, and of course 1070 is going to be broadcasting the Indianapolis 500 local here in Indianapolis, and I think you can hear it on the radio, but you can't watch it on TV. I think you'll watch it later on in the day. So we've only got you here for just a few more minutes here, but by the end of this weekend, we're going to know who 33 cars are. We're going to know where they lie at. We're going to know that they've qualified, and we're going to know what position that they are in. First things first, you mentioned that there might be a 34th car. That deal hasn't come together, but what deal were you referring to particularly?
Well, Catherine Legg's been walking around, and she seems to have something, at least a little bit brewing, but I don't think it's enough to get anything taken care of, at least for a legitimate shot at a ride. Obviously, EJ Viso's been around this month filling in for Hinchcliffe, and he would be available to someone if they were interested. Outside of those two, I don't see it for anybody else. I'm sure there's more drivers around. I know I haven't been around this month as much as I usually am, so I haven't had my annual talks with some of our favorites that come around every month looking for a ride with helmet bag in hand. But
ready to go.
This doesn't sound like we're going to see that same list of usual suspects that are ready to go for a ride, because it takes money to do this, and the reality of it is there's not a lot of money floating around right now.
Well, a couple of local stories I wanted to just get your thoughts on here before we let you go. Obviously, we're based here in Indianapolis, and a couple of stories. One, the Pacers, it's the Pacers beat the Heat again. Nobody thinks it's going to happen. The other thing we found out yesterday that Robert Mathis is going to be suspended for 4 games because of performance enhancing drugs. He says it was because he was trying to get his wife pregnant. Turns out she is pregnant, but nonetheless, a man that smart in the league today did not bother to consult with attorneys or the players' union or the rule book or anything like that. All he did was take the doctor's word for it. Oh no, you'll be good to go. And he took it at face value, and he's paying a dear price for that. So we look at the Pacers and we look at Robert Mathis. What are your thoughts?
Well, let me start with Robert Mathis. We'll start the negative out first. I've never been more disappointed to hear of a story than that. One of the top leaders of the team making such a poor decision. I really don't care for his excuse. He's paid to consult with the union and with Players Association on these very matters. So the simple fact that he didn't is just amazingly disappointing. And I just I just I want to believe that it was an honest mistake, but when you research the drug that he took, you find out that it was one that Barry Bonds allegedly took years ago. It's a known masking agent for performance-enhancing drugs. So it's just such a disappointing story, and hopefully he can learn and move on from it and, quite frankly, put it behind him and continue to lead this team, because it's never good when your leader is away from your ball club for a month. And I don't know that there could be a more, outside of Andrew Luck, I don't know if there could be a more devastating absence from this team than Robert Mathis. So it's a real shame. And just disappointing to hear, too, on top of it.
Right,
now, the Pacers, we'll see.
Yeah. We'll see. The jury's still out.
I am out of the prediction business on the Pacers. I tell you, every time I think I know what's going to happen, I don't. That being said, this should be a competitive series. I don't pretend to know what's going to happen tomorrow afternoon at Bankers Life Fieldhouse, but I will say that I expect it to be a long series. Now, whether it is or isn't, I have no idea. We'll just have to see. But I think this team has got what they wanted. They have home court advantage, and they're going to play the Miami Heat.
Well, and nobody's giving them any credit. Nobody's giving them any props. And, we'll end on this note. What did you think about?
I got to tell you, Tom, I think that's exactly what this team needs. I think when they got all the credit and when they got all the props, they played like utter dog crap. So that's exactly what they need and they deserve at this point. When they had a lead, they couldn't hold it, they couldn't handle it, and now that they are where they want to be, they should be thanking every national media member that tells them they don't have a chance to win this series, because that's when they play their best.
Well, I don't know if you had a chance to watch the game. I'm sure you've seen the highlights, but did you see Paul George getting a little skirmish? No, I won't even call it. It's like a skirmish, a battle of words, if you will, with the hecklers there. And first of all, who are these guys? You know, I noticed security was right there, and after that big thing out in Detroit with Ron Artest, nobody's taking any chances with the Pacers anymore. But unbelievable. Paul George, and then he sits down on the bench and he's barking back and forth. I was like, oh no, he's gonna end up paying out of a pocket if he just keeps talking. He just let it go.
But then you
saw security go over there. But I guess what I want to know is we laugh about it. Okay, it was funny, ha, ha, ha. But you got to wonder, that to me showed some outward signs of how stressed out this team is.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. They struggled with the pressure. I think they have come to admit it. And David West, for the first time, admitted there have been some inner turmoil. So we finally have gotten some credence to, maybe not necessarily the crazy rumors, but at least the idea that something's going on inside that locker room and maybe it's been resolved. But, yeah, you're right. I think more so than anything, whether it be infighting or these wild, outlandish rumors you've heard, the reality of what was going on here is that they were indeed crumbling under the pressure of the number one seed in the East. And when they finally lost the lead, you thought they might play better. And then I think they tightened up because they wanted to get it back. So they got where they needed to be, and I think they realized they're lucky to be where they are.
Did Frank Vogel save his job last night?
Yeah, that's what I heard a joke. Somebody joke that says boy, Frank Vogel sure is prolonging this firing thing an awful long way.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Larry Bird at this point has to keep him around. I've never been a subscriber to the fact that he was ever playing for his job. But
no, I wasn't either. Yeah.
Certainly, Larry Bird raised some eyebrows, and certainly you can't do anything with Paul George. He can play like crap because he's still going to get paid. So bottom line is the buck has to stop somewhere. It always stops with the coach. And had they have lost that series, I think we may have been having a different conversation. But I think the answer is yes, he did save his job last night.
Well, yeah, I think if you really want to, if you subscribe to the fact that it was ever in jeopardy, I think he saved it when they won game 7 against Atlanta. And then moving forward, he just solidified it. You know, what we all learned is that as we were going nuts in the Atlanta series, telling him to play Copeland more and this and that with a small lineup, and and then all our armchair adjustments in this second round against Washington. You know, his little philosophy of sticking with his guy does seem to pay off, doesn't it? I mean, in the end, you know, the water leveled out, and this team performed at the level they're capable of. And they won, what, 4 of 6 here lately? So, or no, more than that, they've won six of their last 8. So I'll take that against playoff teams. Now, we can judge how worthy these playoff teams are. I think that's a fair judgment. But if they continue that pace, they're going to be fine. They may even find themselves in the NBA Finals.
Well, I certainly hope that you're right there. Matt Hicks of 1070, the Fan Local here at Indianapolis, sports affiliate, sports authority here in Indianapolis. Matt, what's going on over there this week? Where can people find your work, your masterpieces, stalk you on social media, what have you?
Tonight from 9:30 to midnight on Network Indiana, I'll be with Bob Lovell reading scores and running down the qualified cars. We won't know the lineup yet, but we'll at least know who's in the race, at least as of now. From 9:30 to midnight on Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk. Tomorrow, 8 o'clock, well after the Pacers are over with and Eddie White's postgame show is over with, Jersey Johnny and I will have our little 2 hours to talk about not only the Pacer game, but we'll get knee-deep in this Robert Mathis mess as well.
Well, I can't wait to hear it, Matt, and I appreciate you taking some time to come on with us this morning, and we'll see how these 33 cars shake out today.
Sounds great, Tom. Thanks for having me.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
Race fans, get ready for the 2014 Coors Light Carb Day concert at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, starring the Red Rocker, Sammy Hagar, and the Wobbo. And Sublime with Rome. Friday, May 23rd, Sammy Hagar and the Wobbos and Sublime with Rome. Get more info at ims.com/carb day.
Why would these rivals risk everything? Each is driven to be the one. IndyCar, the one to win the heart of racing.
IndyCar welcomes Verizon to the heart of racing and is proud to announce the Verizon IndyCar Series.
You know, after a long day here at the Balance Radio Studios, one of the things I like to do most is just to sit back, relax, and enjoy a nice cigar and a great cocktail. One of my favorite places to do that is Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mike and Tom have the setup for you there. I'm going to tell you what, they've got a walk-in humidor, cigars, pipes, tobacco, the way you like it. You like it mild, they got it for you. You like it strong and bold, they got something for you. They got a fully stocked bar with local drafts, a very relaxing lounge, a full-service kitchen with a delicious, delicious menu, monthly cigar tasting events. You can play Golden Tee for free. Bring your laptop, relax with a nice cigar and the cocktail the way you like it. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mr. B's Cigar Box is the place you want to go to unwind. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Very easy to find. 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. That's 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. 317-272-6900. The guys out at Mr. B's Cigar Box are waiting for you. What are you waiting for?
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
See, I'm not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports. Bart, Bart rides up in the front seat today because he's a good guy at sports.
Whoa!
All right. We are back for hour number two. How about that? I tell you what, I was walking through the other day during happy hour, and I was walking through pit lane out here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and I was like, man, these would be some great sound bites for us. You know, some great in and out of sounds. So I thought, well, I'll just use a little bit. But I tell you what, gives you goosebumps, doesn't it? I'll give you an extended version of it. It's just sounds picked up with my microphone walking through pit lane, getting some sounds out at happy hour at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Just to kind of give you a feel as to why you should be out at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway this weekend. It's the Indianapolis 500. It's qualifying. This is what you hear. I tell you what, there you go. And, you know, and that's just a little bit. You can hear him going through the gears here. Oh, man, it's amazing out at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. The greatest spectacle in racing is taking shape, taking form, and you can be a part of that. Well, we've had practice number 7 for the 2014 Indianapolis 500 while we've been on the air. Checkered flag for Group 2. Total of 12 cars reach speeds above 230 miles an hour. That's right. You heard me right. Still Marco Andretti, 232.239. Tony Kanaan right there, 231.598. Ryan Hunter-Reay, 231.021. Kurt Busch, 230.984. Townsend Bell. Yeah, I said Townsend Bell, 230.830. Tomoko Soto, 230.815. Simon Pagenaud, winner of the Grand Prix of Indianapolis, 230.598. Sebastian Bourdais, 230.395. Charlie Kimball, in the Fight for Diabetes car, 230.368. And Jack Hawksworth, the rookie, rounds out the top 10 in speeds in practice number 2, 230.350. Did you see a theme there? Did you see something that what do all of these have in common with the other? What does one look like the other? What was the odd one? Well, the odd one would be going down all the way down to number 13 in the speed chart in 229.935. That's right. I have to go all the way down to Carlos Muñez, 229.935, to find anybody under 230. Incredible. Is that a sign that we're going to see on the pole of 230 here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway? Oh, boys, we sure hope so. Will we hear those famous words? It's a new track record. Of course, I cannot do the justice Tom Carnegie did, or maybe that Dave Calabro can do. But it's exciting to be out here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway all weekend long. Whew, we're ready. We're ready to go race. I'm standing by for that redneck from Philly. I don't know. He must have fell off his horse or something. We're going to talk some more IndyCar. We're going to be talking some Pacers. And you know, really, it's kind of open line now. So if you want to give us a call, 917-889-8516. We'll talk some IndyCar. We'll talk some Pacers, NBA, MLB, hockey, whatever you want to talk. Oh, Marco Andretti. Did you hear that in the conversation earlier today? I want to thank Phil Wilson of the Indianapolis Star for joining us. And he's like, I talked with Marco yesterday, and Marco said, I'm just not even getting out of bed. Tony Kanaan, last year's winner of the Indianapolis 500. You know, funny story. I was listening on the radio. I will leave the station out of it, but they were having a contest, trivia contest, and they were saying, okay, you know, different questions about the Indianapolis 500. And they were like, who won the first Indianapolis 500? And, of course, the guest gave a year, and he was like, oh, that was like, wasn't it like Arthur Newberry? So I don't know exactly who he said it was, because honestly, you guys got me stumped here. Who was the first winner of the Indianapolis 500? Maybe that's a trivia question that we can do. But the easy question is, I said all of that to say, was this. The next question was, who won last year's Indianapolis 500? Now, that answer I know for you, Mr. Tony Kanaan. And they were giving him hints like, oh, the guy with the biggest nose in racing. And he couldn't get it. But boy, a lot has changed over the last 40 years at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, has it not? Unbelievable. The first 500-mile race at Indianapolis Motor Speedway was held in 1911. This year will be the 98th running of the Indianapolis 500. Of course, the greatest spectacle in racing in the world. Gets the race on ABC unless you happen to live here in Indianapolis. But unbelievable. Some years ago, 98th running, so 1911. And it's really neat to go back and look at the old pictures from the Indianapolis 500 and see the old car. You know, they were hitting polar speeds back then at somewhere around 65 miles an hour. That was fast back in 1911. So what are your memories of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway? You want to talk about those? I think I got a lot of memories. I mean, from the most recent memories to, you know, childhood memories. So, you know, remember back in the days when it was called time trials? And remember when Carburation Day actually really meant that they adjusted the carburetor adjustments? Yeah. Carburetor? Yeah. They talk about Throwback Thursday. Of course, this is Saturday, so we'll call it Throwback Saturday. And by the way, there's a flash mob down in the plaza right now. So just if you guys are down in the plaza, go over there and check that out. Flash mob in the plaza. Exciting time, the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. You know, Phil Wilson, and you know, our social media director and producer and my girl Michelle Jones says, goosebumps going underneath the tunnel. Phil Wilson has the same goosebumps. I share the same goosebumps as well. Flyovers. So what are your memories? You can tweet us also at TBalance or at IndianMay.com. And by the way, if you've not checked out IndianMay.com, go over there and check it out. You know what? We are going to officially sad sack Kevin Chapman, who was supposed to join us and has not yet. So we'll, you know what? That's okay. We'll keep things going here, that redneck from Philly, you know. So, we've got 33 cars ready to qualify this weekend, and you know I want to kind of break down a little bit with you on the new rules, and you know we've talked about it, and perhaps maybe you're still uncertain as to, you know, how the new qualifications will work and the new rules. And are you a fan of it, or do you just think that maybe, you know, that's sacred ground of the Indianapolis 500? Or are you okay with change? You know, Phil Wilson said, oh, yeah, I'm okay with change. So we wonder what's in store. Certainly, there's a lot of changes going on, and one of those, a couple of those changes that are going on, simply, you know, and I mean, I know this might get a little technical for you, but I wanted to try to give you as thorough of an answer as I could, and what a better source than the public relations department out of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And you can also, I posted all of this, and I won't go through all of them, but I posted this, full rules as we have it from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway on IndianMay.com. Now, first of all, we have 33 cars. So the entries. So all entries are guaranteed one attempt to qualify between noon and 6:50 p.m., and that's today. So qualifying actually begins at noon. So you got time to finish the show and get out there to the track. The fastest 33 cars will make up the provisional field for the 98th running of the Indianapolis 500 based on the fastest four-lap average time. Now, once the qualifying session ends, the top 30 cars are locked into the field. However, all 33 cars must then requalify on Sunday to determine a final starting position. Now, let's stop there and let's talk about that. Did you hear what I just said? Must requalify. And that kind of maybe alludes to what we've talked about. And I want to stir the soup here a little bit. When you've got to requalify, maybe I don't like that word requalify. Maybe we should word it a little bit differently. But basically, you do have to requalify. And is that going to put cars in a position to push the cars a little bit harder? Are we going to see some accidents, especially, you know, on Sunday? That could be a potential disaster. We'll see how that plays out. So they must requalify tomorrow, Sunday, to determine final starting position. The fastest nine cars advance to a shootout on Sunday to determine the Verizon P1 award. Now, the qualifying lines are as follows. There will be two qualifying lines at the end of pit lane. Line one, cars that are unqualified or have withdrawn their previous qualifying times, priority will be given to this lane. Okay? Now, this is where it kind of gets a little technical. So I want to make sure that I'm as thorough with our fans and our minions as possible so that you understand what's going on, because it's going to be a little bit different maybe if you're used to coming to pole day. Maybe you're just a fan of IndyCar because you live in Indianapolis, and that's okay, and that's great. But I want to make sure that you understand what's going on there. Now, line two, cars that have already qualified but won another attempt and have not withdrawn from their previous qualifying times. So if that makes sense to you. And so if you've got questions and you want to talk about this, we can do that. We don't know why the rule changes was what it was, but you know, we could probably get into the reasons why, depending on who you believe and who you don't believe and that sort of stuff. But bottom line is, it is the rules. We're going to have to embrace change. I'm probably following that side of the line that says, don't mess with sacred ground. You know, it's the Indianapolis 500. Don't mess with it. So multiple attempts are permitted without withdrawing a time from entering line two. Teams can withdraw their time and enter line one, which will have priority over cars already in the field. Teams that make multiple attempts can only improve their times. If they have not withdrawn their time to enter line two, meaning even if a driver records a slower four-lap average, that driver, previous faster, will stand. Qualifying points. Now, here's an interesting scenario that's going to happen and play out. Something new to IndyCar, something certainly new to the Indianapolis 500. They're going to begin to award points, IndyCar points, to qualifying positions with the Indianapolis 500. And it goes really according to. So the pole position, pole setter will get 33 points. The second, 32. Third, 31. Fourth, 30. Fifth, 29. Sixth, 28, and so on. And it just goes down all the way down to the 33rd driver, who will be awarded 1 point. Okay, now that's what happens today. Now then we look at what happens tomorrow. You've got group one, group two, and group three. So group one, all Saturday times are erased, and positions 10 through 30 will requalify to determine the starting position. Okay, order will be the reverse of Saturday's rankings. So lineup will be determined based on the fastest four-lap averages. In the event that there are only 33 cars entered, this group will determine positions 10 through 33. Then you have Group 2, which will only be used in the event that there are more than 33 cars. All Saturday times are erased and positions 31 through 33, and any entry that has yet to make one attempt to qualify will re-qualify to determine the 11th row of the race. Now, Group 3, here's where it gets exciting. The top nine cars will run in reverse order based on Saturday's times. All cars will make one attempt. At the end of the session, the cars ranked 1 through 9 based on a four-lap average during the segment qualifying points of Sunday. So you're going to get qualifying points for Sunday as well. So if let's just say that you're the pole setter you're the fastest. You got 33 points, okay? And then you get on the pole. So you're going to get an additional 9 points for that. So you're going to have 42 points awarded to you just for qualifying. And then, again, that order will ascend down from the second getting 8 points, the third getting 7 points, fourth getting six, fifth getting five, seventh getting three, and eighth getting two, and, of course, the ninth getting one. Now, here's something to note. The Indianapolis 500 will award double points for race results, but the qualifying points and any bonus points awarded for the leading a lap, 1 point for most laps or 2 points for laps, will not be doubled. So there you have it. That's the breakdown of what's going on in qualifying. This qualifying weekend, we got 33 entries in the Indianapolis 500. And so certainly we've got your usual suspects from Team Penske, Target Chip Ganassi Racing, of course, we've got Dale Coyne and, you know, of course, Fuzzy, Ed Carpenter's racing. Ed Carpenter is right there, and Ed Carpenter has not ran an oval race. He will run the oval races. And so he has two cars, and as we saw, one run the road course race. But Ed Carpenter ran 2:30-something yesterday, the top speed of the day yesterday. Certainly we didn't get a lot of practice in there yesterday, and from right here in Indianapolis. So, hometown boy, hometown story. Let's hope that Ed Carpenter has a great day. Now, then we also have J.R. Hillebrand, which is going to be running in the preferred Freezer car. Now, that's a Ed Carpenter car as well. And as you remember, J.R. Hillebrand last year ran the National Guard car, and there's been some changes up with him. Marco Andretti will be in the Snapple car this year, and a little bit different for you Marco fans that might know him in the RC car. Now, we've also got a rookie that's really not a rookie, that's going to be in the field of 33, and that's Kurt Busch. Kurt Busch is going to be doing, and he's going to be running in the Sure-Tone car. And Kurt Busch, obviously, no rookie to racing at all, has been in racing in NASCAR with his brother Kyle over there at NASCAR, and he's going to actually run the Indianapolis 500, get in a helicopter, and fly out to Charlotte, North Carolina, to run the Coca-Cola 600. Out there, and you know what? I admire the guy. I was talking with him, as you heard earlier on in the show. We were talking with Matt Hicks from 1070 The Fan. Just the pure athleticism. Can't even say that word today. Just the pure being an athlete of doing this. You have to have oxygen. There's just all kinds of stuff. And then the mental things. So hats off to Kurt Busch. I hope he does well in both the Indianapolis 500 and the Coca-Cola 600. And the Busch family kind of needs they've kind of had some crazy things going on. James Hinchcliffe, he's obviously in the mix, suffered a concussion in the Grand Prix of Indianapolis, was cleared this week to do some light training, and then cleared later on in the week to get back in the car. And obviously he's in the United Fiber and Data car, a little bit different than last year. You're used to seeing him in the GoDaddy car. Then we've got Ryan Hunter-Reay and in the other yellow car, the DHL car. And so Ryan Hunter-Reay has really been doing great this year, doing a lot of points and so forth. So, you know, that's just a few of the 33. We are going to get through all of the 33 before the end of this show. That much, I promise you, I guarantee you. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. You know what? This is a great show. It's always good as we get into qualifying weekend and pole Sunday and well, we'll call it bump day because we could do that because it's the 500 and we're fans. We're going to take a break, and when we get back, we get the final half hour of today's show. Hopefully, that redneck from Philly will join us. If not, it's me and you solo for the rest of the day, 917-889-8516. We'll talk Pacers. We'll talk Colts. We'll talk racing. Well, I'm right here, and I'm here for you. So we're going to talk right when I get back right here on the Balance Radio Network.
We have always been. I'm a hot rod running, fast strong gun, and with an ace sitting up my sleeve. Well, I'm a wanted man, yes I am, they ain't never ever gonna catch me.
I'm on the run, on that open road, it sets me free. I'm on.
Race fans, get ready for the 2014 Coors Light Carb Day concert at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, starring the Red Rocker, Sammy Hagar, and the Wobbles. And Sublime with Rome. Friday, May 23rd, Sammy Hagar and the Wobbles. And Sublime with Rome. Get more info at ims.com/carb day.
Why would these rivals risk everything? Each is driven to be the one. IndyCar. The one.
IndyCar welcomes Verizon to the heart of racing and is proud to announce the Verizon IndyCar Series.
You know, after a long day here at the Balance Radio Studios, one of the things I like to do most is just to sit back, relax, and enjoy a nice cigar and a great cocktail. One of my favorite places to do that is Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mike and Tom have the setup for you there. I'm going to tell you what, they've got a walk-in humidor, cigars, pipes, tobacco, the way you like it. You like it mild, they got it for you. You like it strong and bold, they got something for you. They got a fully stocked bar with local drafts, a very relaxing lounge, a full-service kitchen with a delicious menu, monthly cigar tasting events. You can play Golden Tee for free. Bring your laptop, relax with a nice cigar and the cocktail the way you like it. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mr. B's Cigar Box is the place you want to go to unwind. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Very easy to find. 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. That's 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. 317-272-6900. The guys out at Mr. B's Cigar Box are waiting for you. What are you waiting for?
Hello, this is Mark Timmons of Timmons Water Systems, 728 East Main Street in Brownsburg, and we invite you to come out and check out our salt and bottled water drive-thru that we have where we'll load the water right into your trunk or salt right into your trunk. You don't even have to get out of your car. But while you're there, if you want to check out and see how we can fix your bad water, like iron, sulfur, rotten egg smell, hardness, bad tasting water, ask us how we can fix your water at a minimal cost. Give us a call at 852-3005 or check us out on the web at wefixbadwater.com.
Fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
All right, welcome back to the Balance. My name is Sal Mark with El Presidente. It is qualifying day, and if you're not out at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway or on your way there, well, all I can say is check yourself from the neck up. Something's wrong with you. You know, something is wrong with you. The Indianapolis 500 comes around once a year. Plan your life around it. Plan it accordingly around it. Get out to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Today is qualification. And for those of you afraid to get wet a little bit, it looks like we're going to have a very good, you know, bring the umbrella just in case. Come on, it's qualifying weekend. Indianapolis 500, the 98th running of the Indianapolis 500 out at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, 16th in Georgetown. If you get lost finding the track, my friend, I don't know what's wrong with you. My minions, I love you. You want to be a part of the show? 30 minutes left. We got about, actually, 20 minutes left on the clock. 917-889-8516. Hey, welcome to all of our friends up at Indiana Talks. I know I've been listening to the encore presentation between 1 and 3 today, and I hope that you guys have enjoyed the whole show. One thing I would point out, just if you are listening to us on Indiana Talks, well, you can't call in because it's an encore, and it's what we call taped in a taped delay. Well, you know what we're going to do, because I wanted to make sure that we got this done. And so some of these might be repeat names for you that we've already talked about on the show. So we're going to go through all 33 cars in the entry list. Okay, they're all going to qualify today, and we hope that it's the Indianapolis 500. There'll be 33 cars on the track, and so that's just how that's going to be. So what we're going to do here is I'm just going to go through, and they're not in any particular order other than just the order that I'm giving. It has nothing to do with speed, has nothing to do with order or points or anything like that. It's merely a document from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway that talks to us about who the 33 cars are and what cars they drive and so forth. So let's get the 33 out there. Are you ready? I know you're rubbing your hands together. Can't wait. Come on, El Presidente. Share us these 33 cars. Well, Juan Pablo Montoya. You heard Phil and I talk about that. Well, everything's good as long as he stays away from the blowers out there. Of course, he's with Verizon Team Penske, going to be in the Chevy, and certainly he's going to be driving one of the Verizon cars. Elio Castroneves brings back the Rick Mears number 3 yellow submarine car, Pennzoil Ultra Platinum Team Penske. And as you know, he's been doing great out there. Yeah, was on the podium with the Grand Prix of Indianapolis. So we look for him to be one of the usual suspects, certainly driving the Chevrolet for Penske Motorsports. And then we got Jacques Bevelou. And some of these names, I will be honest with you, I will absolutely butcher because they aren't NASCAR names, right? Schmidt Peterson Motor, and Sam Schmidt, what an owner, huh? I mean, if you're no stranger to the track, you've seen Sam Schmidt. And I'll tell you what, he's real easy to spot. He's the guy in the wheelchair going around. He's a quadriplegic. And he was hurt in an IndyCar accident, actually, in Orlando, Disney World, many years ago. And it's just become one of the top owners, the owners that every racer wants to race for. And he does great in the Indy Lights series. So any car that Schmidt Peterson Motorsports has out there and the Hondas that he has out there, keep your eye out on. Here's a guy that's come back. Remember this name, Townsend Bell? Absolutely. Townsend Bell, Robert Graham, KV Racing Technology, is going to be racing in the Chevrolet car, KV Racing Technology car. Now, here, the next guy up here is the driver from Russia. And I do have for points of clarification, in case you're actually literally right now, okay, that was car number one, that was car number two. We have cars, things like car number one, two, 2T, 3, 3T, 5, 5T, 6, 6T. So sometimes there's more than one car, okay? So what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to be just giving you the driver and the team, okay? So we're going to come up with 33 drivers from that point. So when I say 33 cars, there could be more cars on the entry list if you are following along, and just to be technical and to cover all my bases. But the kid from Russia, from Moscow, Russia, Alishin, Mikhail Alashin. Is it how Phil said to say it? I'll have to get some clarification on that. SMP Racing, of course, Honda Schmidt Peterson Motorsports. Again, you heard me mention Sam Schmidt a while ago. He has the ability and the knack to find the diamond in the roughs. And really, quite honestly, I would not be surprised if this is that diamond in this kid from Russia. Ryan Briscoe from down there in Sydney, Australia, in the NTT Data Chip Canassi Racing car, of course, Chevrolet as well. Scott Dixon from New Zealand. Target Chip Ganassi Racing Chevrolet as well. Tony Kanaan, TK, stepping in to the fill the seat that was left by good friend Dario Franchitti, who's going to be driving the pace car this year at the 98th running of the Indianapolis 500. So as we remember last year, Dario Franchitti had a scary, horrifying accident out at Houston toward the end of the season, and at that point decided to call it quits and retire. He's certainly a Hall of Fame driver, and how awesome was that for Tony Kanaan to step in there and now be the driver for Target Chip Ganassi, and possibly and you would be right if you were to bet on Tony Kanaan to get a repeat. It is very, very much possible for Tony K. OTK. So rooting for him. Now stepping in the old TK car from last year, the Hydro Oxycut there at KVSH Racing is Sebastian Bourdais. And certainly Sebastian Bourdais is from France. So anytime we hear a French driver, we want to say, see Ricky Bobby. Say, can you say Ricky Bobby? Will Power from Australia, Verizon Team Penske as well. And Will Power, there again, if you want to look at the usual suspects, who's going to be right there for the race and to do damage, Will Power is the guy I look at. Tomoko Soto from Japan. ABC Supply, A.J. Foyt Racing, and he'll be in the Honda for A.J. Foyt, and certainly, again, a great owner. If you want to race for a legend, and you've earned your right to be in an Indy car, A.J. Foyt, your boss, you know that you've done something right in your career. Graham Ray Hall from New Albany, Ohio, National Guard car, which was the car last year that J.R. Hillebrand drove in. And so he's with Ray Hall Letterman Racing, obviously his daddy, Bobby Ray Hall, and we all know who he is, and of course we all know who the co-owner is, David Letterman, and David will always say that he's the money of the organization, and Bobby Ray Hall is the brains of the organization. So I firmly do believe that. And then, of course, his teammate, Oreo Servia, which we were really questioning at the end of last year, and Oreo would even have a ride this year, but it turns out that he did, and Ray Hall at Letterman Racing, and he'll be in the Honda car as well. Sebastian Savardy, the guy who got the, and I know I'm being told I'm mispronouncing that, and I do apologize for that, Sebastian. He got the pole in the Grand Prix of Indianapolis. His car stalled, and ultimately, by no fault of his own, but still ultimately the cause of the huge pile-up and that scary start of the Grand Prix of Indianapolis. Good to see him back out there in the AFS KVS racing car, Chevrolet car as well. Carlos Hudaez, and again, from in Dale Coyne Racing, obviously a teammate of Pippa Mann, and DCR is really an up-and-coming team that you want to watch, and they're starting to put some good drivers out on the course there. And so certainly between, like I mentioned earlier on in the show, Justin Wilson, very much a dark horse, but he deserves a break from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. So I hope that Justin Wilson with DCR can get up there as well. Ed Carpenter, as we mentioned a while ago, homeboy from Indianapolis, a Butler grad, just an all-around Hoosier. And if you're looking for a hometown boy to root for, that's him. And plus, he's an owner-operator, and he's going to be in the Fuzzy's Vodka Ed Carpenter Racing. You cannot miss the green Fuzzy Vodka car. J.R. Hillebrand, and also racing for Ed Carpenter, going to be in the preferred freezer Chevrolet car as well. Sage Carman, Dreyer and Reinbold, he'll be in the Dreyer and Reinbold Chevrolet car as well. Marco Andretti, as we already know, has put up some speeds today of 232. In fact, he told Phil Wilson that he was going to sleep in. So I'm sure Daddy didn't have no, you're not going to get out there and qualify. So certainly Marco Andretti is one of those in the Snapple car that everybody's looking at, and one of the usual suspects out there at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Kurt Busch, rookie in the IndyCar, not so much a rookie to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, but rookie, and he's going to be driving in the Sure-Tone, of course, Andretti Ottawa Sports Racing. The mayor of Hinchtown, James Hinchcliffe, formerly of the GoDaddy car, good to see him out on the track. I like James Hinchcliffe. I'm a personal fan of his. We're friends. I've got an opportunity to get to know him, you know, over the years, and kind of a fun story with James Hinchcliffe. When we were first starting out on our show, our first year of credentials out there at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, I would just talk to anybody that would talk to me. And I noticed he had a fire suit on. To be quite honest with you, I didn't know who he was. I had to read his belt. And he didn't know who he was, and the first time he'd ever been out of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And so I just went up to him. I said, hey, mind if I talk? He goes, no, nobody else is. And so we just really had, and I'll have to dig up that interview. So it was really a neat interview to hear James Hinchcliffe back then as opposed to now. And I've kept in touch with him over the years. And just, we talk with each other on Twitter and Facebook and other social media. And just really good to see the growth of James Hinchcliffe. And many times he's allowed me to stand in his pit box during the race. So I've enjoyed time with James Hinchcliffe. So it's good to see that he was able to be cleared of the concussion there. And so he'll be in the United Fiber and Data car, again, an Andretti Auto Sports car. Ryan Hunter-Reay in the DHL car, Honda car, coming out of Fort Lauderdale, Florida. James Davidson, KVRRT, always evolving racing, again, in the Chevrolet KV Racing Technology car. Carlos Munoz, he'll be in the Sensei AndrettiTV.com HVM car. Andretti Motorsports, usual suspects there as well. Martin Plowman out of England in the ABC Supply AJ Foyt Racing teammate there of Tomoko. Pippa Man, you heard, where we were talking about her earlier in the show. Another English person, the only woman to field the race this year, DCR Racing, and she's going to be in the pink car. You won't be able to miss her. And the great thing about her, for every lap that she turns out at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, whether that be in qualifying or whether that be in the actual race itself, you go into racingwithpippa.com, you go there, you donate some money. I believe that's the correct website, but we'll have that up on our social media. But Pippa Man, Google it, you'll find it. It's right there. And then there's a slot there where you could donate per lap. And you could donate as little as a penny or as much as $1 million if you have it and you want to donate that. For every lap that she turns, you can donate that. And you put all your credit card information in there. 100% of all those proceeds go to Race for the Cure. And what a great cause it is. And, you know, as we know, breast cancer is an awful disease, and so I applaud Pippa Man for what she's doing in the DCR car, the Susan G. Coleman car, the pink car. So fantastic. Tag, my man Alex Tagliani, obviously racing for Sarah Fisher Racing, and so he'll be in the SFHRRW Motorsports car, a little bit different of a car and a little bit different feel for him. He's with a different team this year as well. Tagliani, also no stranger to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and also a former pole sitter himself. So certainly keep your eyes on Tag. And you know what? If you're a woman and you like fashion, check out his wife. His wife's fashion line created a fashion line all around racing and different stuff. So you have to check that out. Simon Patajon from France. So it's what we say, what? We have a French driver. See, Ricky Bobby? Yo, Ricky Bobby, I beat you. You know, maybe if I could catch him in an interview today, I'm going to ask him, I say, can you say Ricky Bobby? No, I'm kidding. I would not do that. I would probably lose my credentials for doing that. But he, again, was Schmidt-Peterson, Hamilton Motorsports Racing, and great showing that Schmidt has had in the Indianapolis Motor Speedway this year, and certainly in the past as well. Charlie Kimball, the driver I don't like. And that's an inside joke. If you followed this show for years, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But really, inadvertently, a few years back in a conversation on the air, I mentioned that I didn't like Charlie Kimball, which was not the driver I was referring to and meant to say. But ever since then, it's kind of stuck with me. Oh, Charlie Kimball, the driver you don't like, which is totally false. I love Charlie Kimball. And you know what? Applaud him, too. He's the only driver who drives with diabetic, and he's the driving for insulin car, and just a great kid. And I love Charlie Kimball, and Chip Ganassi Racing Teams is who he'll be racing with. Buddy Lazier! Hey, welcome back, buddy. Oh, man. Buddy Lazier, legend from the past, blast from the past, and he comes out and races here at the Indianapolis 500 because he can and because he's Buddy Lazier. And so to help fill the 33 cars, he's out there doing that. So we'll see what happens. Lazier Partner Racing, obviously, in the Wayne Institute for Vision Research. And then we got one more rookie from England, and that's Jack Hawksworth. A lot of people like Jack Hawksworth. He hit the wall earlier in practice this year. And so we'll see how he does. I'm very optimistic about Jack Hawksworth. I like him. I think he's a good driver. I think he's aggressive. I certainly think he's a contender, and he could very well be very much a contender for the Rookie of the Year. We'll see how that pans out. And so we got a good rookie class this year, and kind of going back through those rookies, just so you know who those are, that would be Jack Hawksworth, that would be Martin Plowman, that would be James Davison, Kurt Busch, and we call him a rookie because he's a rookie to IndyCar, not necessarily a rookie to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Does not determine on whether or not that's going to make you a rookie or not. Sage Carman from Pennsylvania, and Carlos Hertaz of DCR Racing is a rookie. And then our kid from Russia, Mikhail Oshan. SMP Racing, again, Schmidt-Peterson Motorsports. Those are your rookies, and those are the class to look at. And then we've got some winners. Obviously, Juan Pablo Montoya, Elio Castaneves, Scott Dixon, all former winners that are out on the field. And of course, Buddy Lazier. Can't forget Buddy Lazier being former Indianapolis 500. So there's your list of 33 cars that are going to qualify to today, and then we're going to get the fast nine, and then we are going to requalify tomorrow and figure out where these positions are going to be and where they're going to land at and lay at, and that'll be our field, whether you like it or not. That's the rules, and that's what's going on. Qualification coverage today, if you want to watch it on TV and you just don't want to, or maybe, all right, I'll give you a break. You don't live in Indianapolis, and it's just going to be too much of a long drive for you. Okay, we'll give you a break. You want to watch it on ESPN3, or you can stream it on racecontrol.indycar.com, or, you know, of course, follow them on Twitter. And I'm always retweeting them on at IndyMA.com or at T-Balance or at IndyCar, but ESPN3. We'll begin coverage today at 11 o'clock because they're waiting for this show to be over, and then they're going to start their coverage. All right? Qualifying for the 2014 Indianapolis 500 at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway is today. And we've had some great speeds this week. And I have been excited to bring you. Have you caught any of the reports that I've been doing on the Balance Radio Network, XRB, Indiana Talks? You've seen some great results. But yesterday we had it was Fast Friday. It wasn't very fast, but it was a fast Friday. Ed Carpenter, as we know, turn speeds of 230.522. Elio Castaneves, 229.843. Marco Andretti, 229.419. J.R. Hillebrand, 229.384. Joseph Newgarden, another Sarah Fisher driver, 229.276. Juan Pablo Montoya, 229.205. Scott Dixon, 229.062. Simon Padgett, 228.544. Jack Hawksworth, the rookie, in yesterday's practice, 228.176. And then Hinchcliffe was right after them, another rookie. Plowman was there as well. So there you have it. We are ready. We are ready to go racing. We aren't going to have a bump day per se. Yeah, as you heard, Matt Hicks said, hey, you know, we could possibly have 34 cars. It's highly unlikely at this point. I think something would have been leaked by now. Although, you never know. You never know. Things come together relatively, well, seems relatively quickly, although it's a very complicated process on getting a car filled into the Indianapolis 500. Or you could say, if you got the money to play, you can play. Well, you don't need to have money to play here on The Balance. All you got to do is follow us on The Balance at T Balance, or follow us on Facebook, The Balance. And we'll get you all hooked up with everything that you want to do. Remember, every Thursday we do our baseball show. We talk baseball for 1 hour. And we call that show The Hot Corner. Make sure you listen to us. And also, catch us on Indiana Talks or our archives on Blog Talk Radio or iTunes, or really on just about any mobile app you can figure out that's out there. You can probably figure out a way. If it's broadcasting or streaming radio, well, we're out there. And my name's Saul Marquis. They call me El Presidente. And not that I'm a dictator or anything. I'm just your leader. You're the minions, and you guys are the what makes it happen. And if you want to be a minion, it's real simple. We don't have a waiting process or anything like that. In fact, it's a lot easier to become a minion than it is to qualify for Obamacare. So go on. And you thought I was going to make it through the whole day without talking about politics. So go to Facebook and follow us on The Balance. And you know what? I wanted to talk about Robert Mathis. Certainly, I think that Philip B. Wilson of the Indianapolis Star echoed everybody's thoughts. And, you know, shame on you, Robert Mathis, for not checking it out. But shame on you, NFL, for rushing to such a harsh penalty. And I think I would say that even if he played for another team other than the Indianapolis Colts. Certainly, it's going to sting. It's going to leave a mark. But it is what it is, and we'll see if it ends up getting turned around in appeal, and I don't even know if he's filing an appeal. But, you know, at the end of the day, he wants to have a family. I get that. I understand that. But at the same time, you pay a lot of money to know the rules. And so I think that, you know, we have two people, and the line was drawn, and, you know, the line is very, very visible and has been in the sand for a while. So, you know, Robert Mathis did cross that line without consulting the NFL, the league, or the Players Association. So that said, shame on you, Robert Mathis. But at the same time, shame on you, NFL, for not giving the guy a break, especially when you got guys like Jim Irsay and others who have not yet to be punished, and you got situations that are far, far more serious than this. That's where we're at on that. Of course, the Indiana Pacers tomorrow taking on the Heat. Here we are. Everybody said it was going to happen. Then, you know, toward the end, you know, it was like the Pacers just kept beating themselves up. So which Pacer will show up tomorrow at the Bankers Life? We don't know, but we're going to find out. And certainly we hope that it's the Pacers from the first part of the year that comes out to beat the Miami Heat in the playoffs. Well, my name's Saul Marquis. El Presidente, I tell you what, it has been awesome talking racing with you today. And I know that's pretty much dominated our conversations today, but it is qualifying weekend, and it is the Indianapolis 500. It is the 98th running of the Indianapolis 500. And so make sure you catch us on our encore presentation between 1 and 3 on Indiana Talks and on all of our archive. Go out to the track, know your zones. Know where to park. Don't give the yellow shirts a hard time. Enjoy your time, guys. I am going to do exactly that. It is qualifying weekend. It is qualifying day. We're going to have 33 cars by the end of this day. And when we talk again next week, we're going to be ready for the Indianapolis 500. And we are going to have some more in-depth conversations about that. Well, my name is Saul Marquis, El Presidente. Remember, don't drink and drive. It isn't cool. I'll see you on Thursday on the Hot Corner.
For breaking her heart, now I'm free. Join us next week for The Balance. In the meantime, check us out on Twitter, T-Balance, or Facebook, The Balance, or online at www.thebalanceonline.com.